Members of the New York City Jails Action Coalition staged a demonstration outside a meeting of the city's Board of Correction this morning. They're demanding answers in the death of Jason Echeverria, an inmate at Rikers who died in August in what appears to have been a poisoning. WBAI's Jose Santiago discussed the case with Jennifer Parrish, Director of Criminal Justice Advocacy at the Urban Justice Center's Mental Health Project, a member group of the coalition.
The Jails Action Coalition was formed a year ago, specifically concerned with several issues that are going on right now in the city jails, including the extensive use of solitary confinement, as well as the brutality that's being perpetrated on incarcerated people by the guards. We're also concerned about the level of programming and mental health services there, and generally about mass incarceration. But our focus of the demonstration today was to bring to light the death of Jason Echeverria. We had highlighted his death at the September protests that we held outside the Board of Correction meeting. So he died in the end of August, and at that time his father came and spoke at the protest because he was trying to get answers regarding his son's death. Since then, the medical examiner's office has ruled Jason's death a homicide. We had received reports from people who were incarcerated on the same cell block that the correction officers were involved in his death. We do not have answers from Department of Corrections. They have not been given to Jason's father and his family, and we're demanding that the Department of Correction have more transparency around what happened to Jason, because he was a person who was incarcerated in solitary confinement in the unit where people with mental illness are held. It's frequently referred to as MAUI, which stands for Mental Health Assessment Unit for Infracted Inmates. And there has been a lot of brutality by the guards there at MAUI. And we were very concerned that this death has been ruled a homicide. And some people within Department of Corrections were trying to play the angle that it was a suicide, and now it's come out that it's a homicide, and we want specific answers from Department of Corrections around who was involved and how this happened.
Mm-hmm. Now, I see where there's a possibility that he might have died from having ingested laundry detergent. Can you tell us what's the story with that?
My understanding is that they do give these very potent soap balls to people who are in solitary confinement to clean their cells, and it's unclear about how much information has been provided to the incarcerated people about the toxicity of these soap balls, and I don't know how all of that connected into his death, whether he intentionally ingested this or not, and whether Department of Corrections didn't respond to him when they knew that he had become unconscious. Obviously, we don't have a lot of answers, but we know that originally that Mr. Echeverria was told that his son died of a poisoning from the soap.
And do we know if there has been, I would imagine there has been, an investigation by the district attorney's office on the death of Jason Echeverria?
Yes, there's an investigation underway by the district attorney's office. The Department of Justice is also involved in looking at brutality within the jails generally. So yes, there are investigations that are going on right now.
Using his case as a focus, what's your sense, your organization's sense, of how things are going for people in his situation in general in the city jail system?
I think that they're going terribly, and I think that this has been recognized by the Board of Correction at their meeting today. The Board of Correction has oversight for Department of Corrections, and they stated that they are concerned about the functioning of this unit, this particular unit that Mr. Echeverria died in. Beyond the incident involving him, they're concerned about incidents of violence by staff on inmates. The chair specifically cited violence by staff on inmates, and said that they are going to conduct a study and that they will share their findings with the Department of Corrections. There are several issues here. I mean, this is a place where people are locked in their cell 22 to 23 hours a day without much human contact. This is a place where everyone who is in there has a mental illness and has been designated as such. It's very difficult to provide any sort of treatment in that sort of hostile environment. And then on top of that, you have a recognition that there is violence within this unit in the interactions with staff. Anytime a person who's incarcerated in this unit is able to go anywhere to get treatment, to see the therapist, to go to group treatment, they have to be escorted by a correction officer. So if people know that the correction officers who staff that unit tend to be violent or provoke confrontations with the people who are on there, there's going to be a reluctance to leave their cell, and that's what we're finding. So it's much, unfortunately, it had a huge impact on Jason Echeverry and his family, but it's also affecting the 200 people who are incarcerated in that unit as well.
What do you want to see in terms of a response from city officials, from the panel that oversees corrections?
Well, we would like the Department of Corrections to completely shut down Maui. It was originally created as a temporary unit. It's only been increased since then. So we don't believe any people with mental illness should be placed in solitary confinement, that people who need treatment should be in treatment settings where they can get the care they need. We don't believe that adolescents should be placed in solitary confinement, and they are continuing to do that within Department of Corrections and, in fact, expanding it. And we think that solitary confinement generally needs to be limited. They give excessive sentences for pretty minor behavior. We recently received some documentation that shows what they were putting adolescents in solitary confinement for. For example, for possessing tobacco, they put once a young person between 16 and 18 years old in solitary confinement for 30 days. So that is something that needs to be ended, and certainly putting people with mental illness in solitary confinement needs to be ended right away.
Jennifer Parrish is with the Urban Justice Center's Mental Health Project. She spoke with WBAI's Jose Santiago.